Well, welcome to our Good Friday service. You already probably notice that it's a special, different type of service. We've got the lights down low because the cross is the central part of the good news about Jesus Christ. Everything in history leads up to the cross, and then everything that God will do comes out of the cross. And our understanding of the cross is really important. But you know, you don't talk about the cross a lot. We don't think about the cross a lot. And so we have the lights down so that you're hopefully a little less aware of everyone around you. And what we really want to do with this service is make it quiet, make it meditative. And what we want to do is ask God to open our hearts to see why Jesus Christ died on that cross. Why did it have to be a cross? What was he saying to us through the cross? So let's just begin by praying. Father, we know that Jesus Christ could have come and given his life as a sacrifice in all kinds of different ways. Why did you orchestrate it before the creation of the world, that he would die the death he died on that cross? What are you trying to say to us through the cross? We just ask you in these next few minutes to open our eyes and to open our hearts, and we ask you to speak to us the message of all eternity. And let us see who you are and who we are and what you offer us through the death of Jesus Christ. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, as you can see, we're going to do things a little bit differently. Cindy has picked songs that lead us to the meaning of the cross. So we're going to meditate a little bit. Words I want to bring out from the song that you just sang, I need you. You know, I think the more we recognize that we really need God, the closer we get to him. I think our problem a lot of time is that we don't realize how much we need him. But the verse says, my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. And it's talking about the cross because that is the message of it. I got this slide up here because it says, warning, the message contains offensive material. How many of you know that Paul says that the true message of the cross is what? It's offensive. You know, to a lot of us, the message of because the message of the cross is so offensive, people don't talk about it a lot. He's saying because they'd rather just kind of hear the surface story about Jesus, but not really think deeply about what he's saying to us. But the cross is an offense. You know, to us, in our culture, that's hard to think. See, I got a Bible with the cross embossed on it. How many of you got one like that? I bet you there's somebody in here who's wearing the cross as a piece of jewelry. This church has got cross on it. As a matter of fact, almost every place you see that has some type of Christian affiliation has got some kind of cross somewhere, isn't it? And you know what it represents to us? The love of God. And the cross does represent the love of God in the second part of the message. But a lot of times for us, that's the only part of the message we hear or want to think about. But the cross is saying a whole lot more than just God loves us. It's trying to bring us into a place where we can really understand how much God loves us and we can respond to that love. And the problem with the message of the cross is that to us, it is offensive. It's offensive to think that Jesus Christ could not give the sacrifice for our sins the same way all the priests did through the Old Testament. I want you to think about that. Every time they sinned in the Old Testament, they had to go before God and bring a sacrifice, right? Do you know what the priests were told? that the animal had to be treated well. It could not be abused. It had to be calm. They had to gently lead it there and have it settled, and they very quickly ended its life. Well, that's not how Jesus' sacrifice is. It's not anything like that. Great care is not taken that he is calm and not hurt and life is ended as quickly as possible. You know, those priests were men and they had no right to offer that sacrifice before God. As a matter of fact, they had to sacrifice for themselves first because they were offering a sacrifice they had no right to offer. And because of that, that sacrifice could never completely wipe those sins away. It had to be repeated over and over and over, and the message never really could sink through because they had no right to give it. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is completely different. It was God's plan from the beginning that that sacrifice was going to be so horrific that we would not want to look at it. You know, I wear this little thing right here that we got. Some of you may still have it when we talked about the persecuted church, and it's barbed wire. Do you know how many people ask me, "When in the world's that?" You know why? Who wears barbed wire? But in our society, we wear a cross. We don't wear a cross with a mangled, beat up, distorted, torn apart human being dripping blood from it. We don't wear a hangman's noose with a body hanging down. I mean, if we do that, it's just strange. But that's what the cross is. The cross is the ultimate feared method of execution and torture. And Jesus Christ died on a cross because God is trying to send a message. He died for you. This is what it takes. Problem is, that's offensive to us because we don't want to think we're that bad. We want to look at the cross and we want to say, "Well, you know I'm not perfect." How many of you hear that all the time? "Well, I know I'm not perfect. I didn't do everything right, but I've got good intentions and I'm basically pretty what? I know I need forgiveness. I know I need some grace, but I'm really not that bad a person." You know what the cross says? It says, "Oh, yes, you are. And you need to realize that in order to repent." Here's the message of the cross. The creator of the universe, who is so vast that we cannot comprehend who he is, created us, a little speck who lives for a moment of time, and put us on earth to be a part of his kingdom. And you know what we said? "I don't need to listen to you. Don't tell me what to do. I have no need for you. Just let me go. I can figure out what needs to happen in this world. I'm the one who can decide what's good and bad for me. I don't want to hear from you. I'm going to start my own kingdom. And I don't think my kingdom is that bad, so I don't think I need forgiveness for it. I don't see myself as a rebel. I don't see myself as an ingrate. I don't see myself as so prideful and arrogant that I would look at the creator of the universe, who understands how to put my body together, and tell him he don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I do, and the rules he's got for me shouldn't always apply. I'll decide how my life should go." And we don't think that's offensive to God. We don't think that that is something that he could not put up with. We think that God could let us into heaven with that attitude because we're not that bad, without realizing that if God allowed us to bring our kingdom into heaven, it would be just like this world. God can't have heaven with us in it when we will not accept his authority. We're rebels. And it is a serious rebellion. It's betrayal. It's sedition. That's offensive. People don't want to hear it. But seeing it and seeing the cost of what Christ had to endure in order to pay for our sins, and when we see the result of our sins and what our sin deserves, it can truly bring apart a rush to repentance and forgiveness from God. You know why some people are so hard to repent and turn to God? Because they really don't think that their sin is that what? They don't think it's that bad. They don't look at the cross for what it's really trying to say. Because it's offensive and we don't want to hear it. But it's interesting that the cross is the centerpiece of the message that God is sending to us. He wants us to enter his kingdom, to lay everything down and to make him our authority. But you know what? If we don't think that what we're doing is that bad, we're really not motivated to let it go. If we really don't think we deserve that kind of punishment, which, if you think about it, most people don't want to think about what we would really deserve as rebels against God. See, I look at what my life is like and the things that happen for my life, and I don't understand the ripple effect of everything I'm doing. I don't really understand what my sin is, and tell you the truth, I'm not interested in knowing what it is. I'm interested in what happens to me tomorrow. So I'm not looking at it from God's perspective. The cross forces me to look at it from God's perspective. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's foolishness for somebody to say, look, you're not. Look, I know plenty of people who are worse than me. I know plenty of people whose rebellion is acted out in a way worse than mine. I don't think my rebellion is that bad. I don't think that the things I'm doing and the people following me are really doing that bad. What I don't realize is that the people who are following me when I'm not following Christ are walking away from God and separating themselves from him. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Why? Because it drives us to our knees, realizing how gracious and forgiving God is, that he would allow us a second chance when we who are so small have been so arrogant and so rebellious and so prideful as to not care what he thinks. It would be easy for him to just wipe us off. And yet he sees us and loves us and endured the punishment we deserve in order to free us. The second part that's offensive is this. When we were still sinners, we were what? We were powerless. Some translations say we were unable to help ourselves. In other words, it's offensive to some people to think that you can never deserve or you can never do enough right things that God would say, okay, listen, you don't really have to listen to me or follow me. You don't have to accept me as the authority and serve me, because really your plan is so close to mine. It's okay. You're okay. We're nowhere close to God. We are powerless. We cannot save ourselves. Three people died on crosses that day. Only one of them could make the sacrifice to atone for our sin. Hundreds of thousands of people were crucified. None of them were able to pay for their sins through their crucifixion. For if when we were God's enemies, that's offensive, isn't it? To think that when I'm not doing what God says, when I'm not listening to God, when I'm trying to create my own kingdom, that the plans that God has, I am thwarting. And that I'm an enemy to what God wants to do. That's offensive. The message of the cross is offensive. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? The mercy and the love and the power of God is shown through that resurrection and through the cross. But the cross gives us the ability to appreciate God so much that we understand that power that comes from the Holy Spirit in our lives. Well, let's sing and we'll think some more. Your grace has broken every chain. My sins are gone. My debt's been paid. And we have a pretty big chain around us called the flesh. We've got a desire that wants to do our will, not God's will. It's amazing that the power of the cross can break that chain and set us free from ourselves. We're the biggest prison keeper that we have. But it's been paid by what Christ did and what we see in that. He gave his life for us. I want you to think for just a moment. Just close your eyes for a second and think about how big God is. It's hard to even imagine because no matter how far our mind goes, we know he's beyond that. God is so great and he fills all of the universe and the universe is beyond. And it's beyond our comprehension. Now think of yourself just in comparison of the earth. Now think of yourself compared to the distance of the moon or the sun or the end of our universe. I think we can stop and say, just like David does, who is man that you're mindful of? Why would God think of me? You realize how small we are? And yet Christ gave his life for us? That's what Good Friday's about. The good part is not that he had to die on the cross and how he had to die to get our attention, to get us to understand and see who we are in our prideful rebellion, and to see who God is and how great that mercy and grace is. The good news comes that because when we see that, we run to him and he offers us Easter, to be born again, to be filled with the Spirit of God, and to be brought into the arms and into the family of our Heavenly Father. When Jesus was preparing to be arrested and go through the crucifixion, that is when he faced the greatest temptation that he ever faced. Most of you know the story. He was under such stress, he was sweating what? Drops of blood. And it wasn't just the thought of him having to endure the torture of the cross. You know, there were lots of people who were crucified, and I'm sure they were all stressed to the max. But, you know, they weren't all sweating drops of blood. You know, the science tells us, and doctors tell us, that to be in the stage where you're in such intense pressure that you're so constricted with the capillaries that they burst and you start to sweat blood. I mean, that's an immense amount of stress that rarely is seen but sometimes seen. He was experiencing that as he prayed and he said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. So in other words, when Jesus was facing the cross, the human side of him did not want to endure what he knew was coming. And it was more than just the torture. Because the torture of a cross until we physically die, how many of you know that's not enough punishment for our sin? Because if we leave this world where we have rejected the authority of God and his kingdom, and we want outside the kingdom to have our own kingdom, how many of you know that doesn't end when we physically die, does it? That separation from God, it lasts how long? Forever. So the punishment that God puts upon the rebels who will not repent is eternal. And Jesus Christ realized that for the first time in his life, someone who always ended up saying, yet not my will, but your will. So he's modeling to us how a human being is supposed to live in the kingdom of God. I may not want to do this, but I know you want to do it. You want me to do this, and so I'm going to do it. And so not my will, but your will be done. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him to be what? To be sin. In other words, all our sins were put on Christ. He took them all into himself. He took all of those sins upon his own back, and he said, I will pay the punishment for that. Everything that you've done, who you are, I'm going to stand in substitution for you. And when God looks down there, he's not going to see me. He's going to see Tom Craig. He's going to see Sean Hanselt. He's going to see Bill Spencer. He's going to see you. He became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So he took that sin upon us. How many of you know that God cannot look upon what? He can't look upon sin. God can't look at someone who's in rebellion, who will not go along with his kingdom and allow them to come in and be part of the group, because they're going to destroy the flow of things, aren't they? And so God turns his back on Jesus Christ, and that's why he experiences the absence of God in his life. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The Old Testament predicted this as Jesus becomes sin for us, as he takes his sin upon us. He takes our place. You know what that is? It's separated from God. The difference is that when you and I finally get the full consequences of our choices, they last forever because we what? We deserve them. However, Jesus Christ did not deserve it. And so when God looks down and puts the punishment that we deserve on Jesus Christ, rather than looking at that and saying, "You know what? I hate this, but they will not repent. They will not accept my authority. So I have no choice but to let them have what they want." He looks at Jesus Christ and he says, "He does not deserve this. He is innocent. All the wrath of God is being poured out on someone who does not deserve it." And at one point, he just says, "That's it. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough." And God relents from that punishment. He says, "That's it. It's paid enough. Jesus needs to suffer no more. He's taken all of Dan's sin upon him. It's enough. It's finished. We're starting anew." A new life is given. That's why the sign that was above the cross that was put over him had the accusation written against him. This is why he was crucified. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. You know why Jesus was crucified? Because he claimed to be the authority. He claimed to be the king. And they didn't want to follow the way Jesus wanted to lead. If Jesus would have come in and created an army and destroyed their enemies and made them rich, given them all the things that they wanted, made their crops grow, gave them new toys to play with, they would have been fine with him. When he told them to turn the other cheek, to love their enemies, to do good when good wasn't done to them, when he told them to serve God in hard times and believe that God would eventually pull them into a kingdom that was worth it, they didn't want to do that. And if he wouldn't shut up, eventually they crucified him. It's the sin of rebellion. And Jesus modeled for us the one pure person that could pay for the sins of mankind, and God would say, "That's enough. Not my will, but yours be done." You lived a sinless life, we sang, yet you were crucified. You bought our freedom on the cross. I want you to think about the offense of the cross. Here's the offense of the cross. You can't do anything to save yourself. There's nothing you could do. There's nothing you could say. There's no good work. You could never make up for the rebellion and for the consequences of the rebellion that you have caused in the kingdom of God. Christ bought your freedom. Without Christ, there is no way to forgiveness. He is the only one that can pay that debt, because the debt is eternal. He bought our freedom at the cross. "At the cross, I bow my knee where your blood was shed for me." You know, think about the disciples and how they felt when they saw Jesus crucified. And it's interesting because Jesus could have rose from the dead right away, couldn't he have? But God left him for 3 days to mull that over. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. God wanted that image of the cross to sink in so they could fully experience the joy of Easter. When I think, you know, I'm not that bad. I really don't need that much saving. Yeah, I need some forgiveness, and so I'm glad that God forgives my sin, but really, I'm not that bad. I don't need much comfort. But when I truly see who God is and who I am and how I have lived as far as being under his authority, Easter is a real joyous thing. There is no greater love than this. And that's why we call it Good Friday, because of what comes out of that as we come into Easter. I want you just to listen to these words of the prophecy of what Good Friday and Easter are all about. And just think about what God is saying here. He, speaking of Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And we are healed by his wounds. We could never sustain enough wounds to heal ourselves. It's by his wounds that we're healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. All of us. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid not on us, but on him, the iniquity of us all. It was the Lord's will to crush him. To crush him. And to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, that's him becoming sin for us, paying the full debt. He will see his offspring, that's us, those who are born again, and prolong his days. As a matter of fact, his days will go on, the prophecies tell us, forever, and his kingdom forever. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he'll be satisfied. It'll be worth it to him. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. For he will bear all their sins and he will expose our hearts. And we will fall before him, crying out for his mercy. And we will forever be grateful that we have it. And we will be motivated to always live for him because we could never pay back what he has given us. That's the picture of what's in the cross. Peter quotes from this and he says, he himself, speaking of Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we've been healed. So when we look at the cross, we do mourn. It's offensive. We look at ourselves. It hurts. But when we look at Christ's heart and God's heart, and we see the power of the resurrection and the veil torn in two and God's arms open wide for us and his forgiveness offered, we rejoice that we're healed and we now have hearts that want to love him. That is the last song that we're going to sing, but I don't want you to stop thinking about what God is speaking to you. And I hope that you're listening to him. I hope that you're looking at his words and you're listening to his words and you're thinking about his words and you're asking God to reveal to you what he's really saying. to understand that cross. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. It is amazing that God would sacrifice himself for us. Bring me to my knees. Lord, I lay you down. I lay me down. You know, if your reaction when you see the scope of God's plan, who he is and who you are and what he planned, if it doesn't make you want to fall before him, you didn't hear the message. You didn't see what the cross is trying to show you. Because the cross brings us to a place where we want to submit to the God that would give us a second chance when we see what we have become. Rebels. Rid me of myself. I don't want to be someone who doesn't care who God is, who sees the things of this world and value them so much. I don't care about my Creator. I don't want to think about the future. All I want to think about is my life right now in this world. I don't care about anything else but how I feel at this moment. I don't want to be like that. I belong to you. I belong to you. Lead me. Lead me to the cross. Because of that cross, my interest in the world, Galatians tells us, has been crucified. I don't want what the world offers anymore. I see what God has and I see what the world offers. I see God's love. I've experienced the world's love. No matter what I do, I can't keep earning it. I want what God has more than the world. I want to lay it down. I want to bow before him. I want to be in his family. I want to be in his arms. I want to feel his presence. I want his love. I want his love. You were dead because of your sins. Think about that. The Bible says that we were so wrapped up in the world, we were so wrapped up in ourselves and what we wanted, that we only could see ourselves and the things we cared about. And the Creator of the universe, with all the blessings he gives us, we can't see him. We don't feel his presence. That's what it means to be lost. We're not thankful. We're only thankful when we get what we want. And we're not thankful when we don't get what we want, because all we see is ourselves and what's happening to us right now. We're dead to God when we're lost. And it's because of our sin. It's because we've chosen to separate ourselves and go our own way. Because of our sinful nature, it's not been cut away yet. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all of your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Here's what we like to talk about: the unconditional love of God. And yes, God loves unconditionally. He loves all of his creation. He desires for all of his creation to be redeemed and to be saved. But how many of you know there's not a single verse in the Bible that talks about God's love being applied to someone unconditionally? God's love in application always has a condition. If you want to receive Jesus Christ and his forgiveness, the Bible tells us you have to repent and turn back to who? Actually, we don't turn back to God. The only person who turned back to God was Adam. Because from birth, all of us were seeking our own way, weren't we? We have to turn to God for the first time. We can't just say, I want your forgiveness, but I want to stay with my world revolving around me, and I'm going to do what I want, and I don't want to listen to you, but I do want to be forgiven. How many of you know it doesn't work that way anywhere in the Bible? God offers his forgiveness, but just like with us, we can love someone, but we can't show that love or apply that love without some conditions. I can't help someone destroy themselves. I can't give someone money to buy drugs for someone else to destroy their life. I can't help someone do what's wrong. Now, I may sometimes do that, but God knows enough that he knows that heaven can never work like that. So God's love is offered to us, and his arms are open, but we have to accept him. We have to see him as who he is, and we have to make Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior. And he cancels out the record of charges against us by nailing them to the cross. In other words, Jesus Christ has died for everyone's sin. The Bible says, especially for those who believe. You know why? Because even though Jesus Christ died to forgive the sins of everyone, if you don't believe and you don't turn and cling to God and follow God, even though the price was paid, it's not applied to you. You'll be separated out if you're not in the kingdom. And so what I want you to do in these last minutes before we leave is I want you just to think about how Jesus Christ has paid for your sin. It's been nailed to this cross. On this cross, we've got a bunch of nails. And down here, we've got some post-it notes that are white. The reason they're white is because they are now pure. And what we're going to do is we're going to let you, and I want you to be prayerful, and I want you to be silent as we do this, but we're going to come up and we're going to take one of these post-it notes, which represents to us our sin. And we're going to take that and we're going to put it on one of these nails on the cross. And as you do this, I want you to be thinking about what God is saying to you. You may have made a commitment and followed Christ for a long time, but God is speaking to you and saying, hey, there is some areas of your life, some sin that you need to put up on that cross. God knows what it is, and you know what it is. It may be that for the first time, you are actually seeing who you are and who God is, and you're saying, hey, I have not followed you. I haven't thought about you. I haven't cared about you, and I know that's wrong, and I'm putting this, all the things that ignored you, I'm putting this on the cross, and Jesus Christ, I'm giving you my life. But whatever God is speaking to you, we're going to nail those sins. We're going to nail our sin to the cross. Now, as you remain silent and prayerful, here's how we're going to do that. Everybody from, you know, this half of the stage or this half of the thing, this way, you guys, when the ushers bring you, we're going to let you go a row at a time so that we don't clog up. But as you come down this way, you guys will all come this way. You'll walk across. Pick one up here, put it on that cross. You can come down this way. If you're from this side across, as the ushers release you, you'll come down this way, walk straight across here. We're all going to come up this way and pick this up. But if you're on that side, you'll walk just right across here and come right down these steps. And that way we've got plenty of room for everybody to go. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to go first, and the ushers will kind of release you through. So, Kevin, if you want to stand up as soon as we clear this, you can kind of send it. But let's pray, and when we all come back in there, we're going to sing a chorus of "Lead Me to the Cross," and that'll end us. But let's just pray, Father. We know that we do not deserve your mercy. We know that we should have been able to look around at the miraculous nature of life itself and the fact that we are conscious and alive, and what a miracle that is. We should have been able to look at that and know that it had to be a gift from you, and we should have thanked you. We should have sought you. But we just took the precious gift that you gave us and we just used it for ourselves. And we've used it up. It didn't bring us what we wanted. We're still not full. And the reason is because you created us to be in a relationship with you where we could experience the love that is in your heart that this world cannot show us. But Father, in that cross and in the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us, we see your heart and we want it. We're tired of living the empty life without you. And so we give ourselves to you in awe of your grace to offer it. And we ask you to come into our hearts, to fill us with your Holy Spirit and enable us to walk through life with you. Our lives are now in your hands. And we thank you. We give ourselves to you and we put our sin on that cross with Jesus Christ. And it's gone. It's paid for and it's over. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
To the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me.
Will you stand with us?
Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross.
Father, we are so grateful that Jesus Christ came and died for us on that cross. And we pray, Lord, that as we think about what a great sacrifice you made for us, we see the great potential that you see in us. Let us leave our sin behind. Let us leave the past behind. Let us press forward to that high calling in Christ Jesus as your children to live the life that you created us to live through the power of your presence and your love in our lives. We give ourselves to you. It's all we can do. It can never be as much as what you gave for us. But all we have, we give to you. And our hearts anticipate with joy celebrating Easter and all it represents because of what you've done for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.